kingdom impact. But really, it's a prophetic statement because I believe that this coming decade is a decade where the church must align itself to the kingdom of God, and that the kingdom of God must be trumpeted within the body of Christ and must become more and more evident in all that we as God's people represent, because that is the key to us seeing world evangelism in accordance with the Great Commission. So today I want to talk on the lines of kingdom impact, but specifically, what is kingdom impact? What is kingdom impact? Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. So today I'm just laying the foundation, and throughout this year, I'm going to be teaching into this. When I go to our various churches in different ways, I'm going to be ministering along these lines, and I believe that it's going to be a real blessing to us as the rest of the pastors and leaders also catch on what the Spirit is saying. Matthew 6, 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. The Amplified Version reads it like this. But first and most importantly, seek, aim at, strive after his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right, the attitude and character of God, and all these things will be given to you also. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again, I thank you for your mercies and for your grace, and I thank you for your people. I thank you for what you're doing in our lives. And Father, I pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you and of your word. And as we look into your word, you will speak very clearly to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, continuing our theme of impact for Christ, which in the last 2 to 3 years, we've been focusing on the theme of impact. And specifically last year, we focused on impact for Christ. Our emphasis for this year, like I said, is kingdom impact. And it is really an emphasis on us as God's people pursuing God's kingdom as he instructs in Matthew 6:33. In other words, we're pursuing God's kingdom as our number one priority and his righteousness. We're pursuing it as we seek to equip our members as disciples of Christ, as we as local churches seek to impact our immediate communities, and as we as a global family of churches seek to obey the Great Commission through church planting in the nations. We are doing this with this specific emphasis of kingdom impact. Now, before I just go about kingdom impact, I want to talk briefly about what it means to impact for Christ. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16, our Lord says this: "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Now, these scriptures are very powerful, and we've taught into it throughout this year specifically, and even last year. But in these scriptures, there is a clear instruction to us to be salt and to be light. And it's really speaking to us as God's people about our purpose, why we are here. As a church and as a child of God, you must never forget your purpose. We as a church must never forget our purpose, why we exist, why we are here, because it is the key to us being able to be fulfilled in whatever we give ourselves to. And he says, we are the salt of the earth. In other words, our influence as God's people among this fallen world is to transform it in such a way that our world becomes palatable to God. Just like salt influences food and makes it palatable to the taste, so also we, as God's people, are to be salt that brings out the best in our world because of our influence. That is our mandate. That is the mandate of the church. That is the mandate of you as a child of God to your world, to your family members that do not know the Lord, to your friends that do not know the world, to the stranger that you come into contact with, that somehow you have the opportunity to show what you are like. You are supposed to be salt. You are supposed to be salt. And then he says, we are the light of the world. In other words, our example is the only model the world is supposed to have to show them how to live with purpose. But sadly today, if you look at the church, especially the Western church, Western-influenced churches, we have little or no teeth when it comes to our influence in the world, in our society. And that is the truth. The Western church, us included, when it comes to our influence on the society that we're living in, it's very, very weak. In fact, the church today, and I'm talking the body of Christ in general, today, we are even afraid to talk about moral absolutes when it comes to sexuality. That's how bad it's got. We become diplomatic, so diplomatic, the world doesn't even know what we believe. The other day, I was watching an interview, and I really respect the Archbishop of Canterbury. I think he's a godly man. And he was asked the question, is gay sex a sin? It's a simple question. And his answer was, I'm not going to answer that question. Because, no, and I understood his position. I understood it because it's political. Because the minute he says it's a sin, it becomes something else. But the reality is, it shows where the church has fallen, where we can't even say gay sex is a sin. Of course it's a sin. Wow, you're scared now. Seriously, of course it's a sin. Gay sex is a sin. Sex outside of marriage is a sin. Sex with animals is a sin. Sex with dolls is a sin. It's sin, unless it's between a man and a woman in marriage. Wow. Shall we continue? When the church loses its purpose, like the scripture says, it becomes an irrelevance to the world. And the world uses the church at its convenience. He says this. Let me read it in verse 13. He says, if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. In other words, when in those days, when the salt is no longer uses its strength, what they use it for, they use it for grit. They put it on the floor so that when people are walking by, they don't slip and so forth. And what our Lord is saying is this, when the church loses its purpose, the only thing it's good for is to be at an irrelevance that the world uses for its convenience. Today, the church tries to court the world to prove to the world that it's relevant. What a nonsense. We try to prove to the world that we are relevant. Let me tell you something. If you are relevant, you don't need to prove it. And the reason why we try to prove to the world, because we've lost the whole point why we're here, is because we're here to demonstrate the kingdom of God. Let me tell you, when we as a church, a local church, when we begin to demonstrate the kingdom of God, we won't need to prove anything to anybody. They will be running to want our input, as you are going to see. He says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. How do others glorify our Father because of us? How is it that by them seeing our good works, they glorify our Father? It's simple. It is because through the influence of the gospel, you see, you have to look at that word glorify. Through the influence of the gospel, when you allow the gospel to work through you, others get saved. Others get discipled. And that is how they glorify your Father. It's not that they say, wow, what a great man Joseph is, or what a great man you are, or what a great church that is. That is not how they glorify the Father. They glorify the Father by the fruit of your life. Like our Lord says in John chapter 15, verse 8 and verse 16. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. So the way the Father is glorified how great you are, or what great things you've done. It's by the fruit that you bear. And the only fruit a disciple bears is another disciple. That is the culmination of our fruit, whether it's the fruit of prayer, the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of our lips. It all culminates into this thing, disciples. And then John chapter 15, verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you may go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. The fruit that glorifies, the glorifying of the Father through our lives, is that others are being influenced by the gospel because of us, and they are turning to Christ and following Christ as disciples. Here's my question to CLF. Who are your disciples? You that are pastors, who are your disciples? You that are ordained, who are your disciples? You that are leaders, call yourself leaders, who are your disciples? Who are those people that, because of you, are disciplined followers of Christ? I'm talking about kingdom impact. So the impact we're looking for is the impact of the gospel through our lives. And we say kingdom impact. We're not talking about impact for impact's sake. I'm not interested in leaving a legacy of some fantastic ministry. I'm not interested. I really am not. I'm not interested in fact, I remember many years ago, I was in prayer. And my vanity took the best of me. And I said to the Lord, Lord, I'm really looking forward to receiving my OBE. I said that. Can you imagine? And the Spirit said to me, it is not for you. For what? He said, it is not for you. Of course, later on, I discovered that when they give you an OBE, they also invite you to become a Mason. So I guess it's not for me. Hallelujah. The point I'm making is this. We should not be looking to make a name for ourselves here on this earth as the people of God, to make something significant that says Joseph is great, or so-and-so is great, or CLF is fantastic. No. We should be looking to see the kingdom of God come. We should be looking to see people saved, rescued from hell, saved and established and following Christ. Because right now, people are still dying and going to hell. Hell still exists. The reason why the church is here is because there are many that need to be saved. For us at CLF, we are serious about seeing souls saved and being disciples of Christ. So the impact we're talking about is the impact of the gospel. Now, what is the kingdom of God? I'll give you a few scriptures, two scriptures that define this kingdom for us. Romans 14, 17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. In other words, the kingdom of God is not ministering to your necessary felt needs. Eating and drinking are our most basic needs. But it is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness relates to that which God approves of. In other words, the kingdom of God is that which God approves of. Peace. Peace speaks of that which is in harmony with God. Harmony with God and His will. In other words, the kingdom of God is anything that is in harmony with God and His will. And joy in the Holy Spirit. In other words, the kingdom of God is anything that delights in the things of the Spirit. That's the kingdom of God. And this verse highlights the spiritual nature of God's kingdom. Because again, we have to be very careful. You can have a big church, a big crowd, but it is not a spiritual church. It's carnal. The people in the church have the character of jackals and serpents and hyenas. Yeah. So just because you have a crowd doesn't make it the church. The church are the custodians of the kingdom, and the church is a part of the kingdom. And so where God's kingdom is, what you will see is that it will be first spiritual. It will be something not of this earth. The kingdom of God is first spiritual. That's what this verse is implying. And it's also all embracing. In other words, it's not of this world, and should therefore not be expected to conform to the things of this world. And then another definition of the kingdom, 1 Corinthians 4:20. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but power. The kingdom of God is not in word, but power. In other words, the kingdom of God is supernatural. It is supernatural. It is not empty words or mere talk. It is not philosophy or spiritual principles with no teeth. The kingdom of God is supernatural. It is miraculous and it is powerful. The kingdom of God is miraculous and it is powerful. Most of you in this church have hardly experience the miracle power of God operating through your life freely. Yet, you are called a member of Christian Life Fellowship. It's an indictment on us, Pastor John, as elders. It's an indictment on us. They're members of our church, but they don't even know, they're not familiar with the supernatural in their personal lives. They may observe one or two people in our midst. It's a shame. It's a disgrace. The kingdom is not words. It's power. It's miracle power. That word power in the Greek is dunamis. It's a very powerful word. Therefore, anytime we are talking about the kingdom of God, like I'm doing now, or we are sharing the kingdom with unbelievers, there should be an expectation for it to become evident through supernatural tokens because of us and our testimony. We should not be afraid to demonstrate the Spirit and also the power of God. Two different things. Paul said, I came in the demonstration of the Spirit and power. And that's what we're going to be doing in the next 2 to 3 years. Certainly from this year, I'm going to encourage the pastors to really pursue this. How we work with the Holy Spirit and allow ourselves to be used to demonstrate the Spirit as well as the power of God. Until it becomes a normal part of our culture as a church. Yeah. We're going to pursue this thing. The kingdom of God, therefore, in essence, is wherever God reigns. That's the most basic definition. Wherever God reigns, wherever God's will is being executed, that is the kingdom of God. It is the will and dominion of God demonstrated in any given context where our Lord Jesus Christ is being honored as Lord and King. That is the kingdom of God. I want to say a few things about it. I'm repeating myself in 1 or 2 years. Number one, the kingdom is spiritual and therefore not of this world. John chapter 18, 36, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now, my kingdom is not from here. It is spiritual and it is not of this world. Secondly, the kingdom, like I said, is supernatural. Therefore, it is superior to the kingdoms of this world. There is no power, there is no kingdom on this earth that is more powerful, that can resist the power of the kingdom of God. The problem is people are trying to deal with other powers with religion and not the kingdom. The power of the kingdom. Daniel 2:44. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms. And it shall stand forever. Another scripture, Daniel 7:14, one of my favorites concerning our Lord and his coronation. Then to him, our Lord Jesus, was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples and nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away. And this kingdom, the one which shall not be destroyed. I tell you, the kingdom of God is superior to every other kingdom, whether it's the marine kingdom, whether it's the kingdoms in the air, whether it's the kingdoms on the trees in the forest, whether it's the dwarf kingdom, I don't care what kingdom, the kingdom of God is superior. Glory. And I'm not talking natural dwarfs, I'm talking spiritual. Some of you don't know what we're talking about. I'm not talking about people who are physically challenged. And I'm not being PC either. Hallelujah. The kingdom, third point, the kingdom is powerful and overcomes the resistance of world kingdoms. Like we've already read, 1 Corinthians 4:20, the kingdom of God is not in word, but power. That word power is miracle power. In other words, there is no force or power that can resist the advancement of God's kingdom. So when God's kingdom begins to be executed, there is no power. There is no machination of the enemy, no political maneuver. There is nothing that the enemy can do. There is no institutions, no laws he can bring that can usurp what God has begun. And the thing about the kingdom, when we begin to teach into it, one of the things about the kingdom is this. It always starts in weakness. It starts in weakness. It starts fragile, but becomes a mighty power and force. Our Lord said in Matthew 16:18-19, he said, I say to you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it, and I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. At this point, our Lord delegates to the church, or gives to the church through Peter and the rest of the apostles and the body of Christ. He makes us custodians of the kingdom, where we are able to bind and loose the will of heaven on earth and restrict that which heaven restricts and release that which heaven permits. Powerful. Another thing about the kingdom is everlasting, and thus is not restricted to the times and seasons of this world. In other words, when it comes to the kingdom of God, it's not limited to deadlines of men. The deadlines of men or the schedules of humanity. No. Psalm 145 verse 13. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. All generations, it will last. You know, if CLF is the kingdom of God, and if we continue to be custodians of the kingdom of God, then we will last. But if we, within a generation or two, we forget our basics of making disciples, you know, the Methodist church has lasted for 300 years. The most of the churches, I don't think they'll last 30 days when their founder dies. Hallelujah. God wants us to impact, make impact with his kingdom. Not with wise words, enticing words, philosophies. Not with social action. Social action is good, don't get me wrong. It's good. But social action will not cast out demons. It's the kingdom. Good deeds, moral deeds, they are good, but they are secondary to the agenda of God. We are to impact with the kingdom of God. This is God's heart for his church. He desires for us to be the channels through whom his kingdom is made known. That supernatural, miraculous, spiritual kingdom is through us. He wants to make it known. Matthew 6:10, the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is the heartbeat of God, that his kingdom will come in every context, in your home. You know, in our homes today, we have contexts where we need to see the kingdom in our children's health, in our own lives, in the lives of family members. We need to see the kingdom being demonstrated. Yeah. Fathers, I wonder how many of you, when your children are sick, they have confidence to come to you and say, pray for me. And they know when you pray, it will go. Our children need to be able to see the kingdom being demonstrated through us as a natural expression of our faith. Kingdom impact is our desire to see the Lord's Prayer answered in every sphere of influence he has called us, CLF, God's people. We want to see that being realized, the kingdom of God. That's what we're talking about when we talk about kingdom impact. It is God calling us to impact our world with his kingdom in such a way that we are saying, yes, we are responding to it. We are responding. We're saying, yes, Lord, we want to go your way. We want to do it your way. That's what we're talking about. When we talk about kingdom impact, this is we are saying we want to go this way. It's where we allow the kingdom of God to influence our lives in our secret history, and then it becomes evident to all publicly. It involves us as individuals, but it also involves us as a local church. Our local churches, must become hubs that are gateways where God's kingdom is being expressed when we gather together, and through us, our immediate community is beginning to feel the effects of the kingdom of God because we are there. Can you say amen? It is impacted in such a way that the kingdom of God becomes evident through us, just as it was in our Lord's day and in the ministry of the disciples. Let me read you a few scriptures. Matthew 12, 28. Our Lord is talking and he says this, "But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you." If I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of heaven has come upon you. Let me ask you, when was the last time you cast out demons? No, most of you people in CLF, you don't even know this reality. Cast out demons. Hey, are you being serious? Are you being serious? Today, there are more demons now than ever. It's just that now they're very sophisticated. Sophisticated demons are the toughest ones to deal with. You say, come out in Jesus' name, and they'll say, come out in Jesus' name. It is when the Spirit of God is being evident and demons are coming out, that is an example or evidence that God's kingdom is there. I'll give you another example of the kingdom of God. Acts chapter 8, verses 5 to 8. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria. I am praying that some of you will begin to have this kind of a heart, this kind of a burden, this kind of a desire, this kind of a reality. Look, God doesn't need eloquence. He wants you to be available. I tell you, you'll be surprised what God will do with you if you're available in your weakness, in your failure, in your struggles, and you say, I'm available. I'm willing to go wherever, Lord. I'm willing to go wherever. And in your weakness, in your vulnerability, in your struggles, you respond to the call. You'll be surprised what God will do with you. And in the midst of persecution, in the midst when the body of Christ was scattered, says, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord, he did the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed. And many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in the city. Verse 12. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. So the reason why all those miracles were taking place was because Peter talked about who Jesus was, what Jesus did, and the kingdom, the rule of God, the kingdom of Jesus Christ, that our Lord had come to institute, that you enter in by being born again. And as he was talking about those things, man, he demonstrated it, he proved it. The sick were brought and he healed them. He cast out demons out of them. He healed them. Those who were paralyzed, he healed them. And as he did that, they believed. I am seeing in my spirit that there are those who will begin to respond to the Spirit's leading, like Philip of old. And they will go to places and they will turn it upside down in their neighborhood, but also in other places. Yeah, I want to be one of them. I said, I want to be one of them. I told the Lord, what you showed me when I was a young man, I haven't seen it yet. I haven't seen the dimension of power. And I'm not going anywhere, not for a very long time. I want to show the generation coming your power. Your power, the real power of God. None of this suggestion business where you push people down. No. You push them down in the name of Greece power. No. We want the real thing. We want to give ourselves to fasting and to prayer and to travailing and to seeking God and crying and rolling and roaring before the Lord until our flesh conforms and the spirit breaks out. Yeah. Want to give ourselves to ardently seeking the Lord. This decade that is coming, get your priorities right. Get your priorities right. Listen, there's always going to be troubles. There's always going to be struggles. There's always going to be issues. As long as I've been a pastor, and I've been a pastor for over 28 years, I look young. I didn't start when I was 4. Hallelujah. And every year, I will hear people are going through things. People are struggling. People are always struggling, but the kingdom has advanced. Are you still here? The kingdom has advanced. I tell you, if you allow yourself to be consumed by your problems, 10 years from now, you will be worse off than you are today. I tell you, there will always be challenges. There will always be issues that you will have to deal with. Some of the struggles you will face may even be life and death. But get your priorities right. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything, every other legitimate thing you need will be given to you. Get your priorities right. You may see others doing their own thing, and they may look like they're doing well. Don't worry about that. You set your face like a flint when it comes to God and his kingdom. Hallelujah. I tell you, our Lord has such expectations on his church, so much so that the impact of the gospel is supposed to be in such a way that the believers, those who believe, not the preachers, the believers are expected to demonstrate the signs of the kingdom. Look at Mark chapter 16, verses 17 and 18. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. 5 supernatural signs. Most of us here will claim to be believers. But the question is, where are your signs? Where are your signs? It's time to be hungry for the right things, to have an appetite, to see the kingdom of God, the power of God, the real thing, to give yourself over to seeking the hand and the face of God until he manifests his glory for you. As a body of believers, we as a church, local churches and as a family, must recognize that the main thing for us is the kingdom of God. That's the main agenda. Seeking first the kingdom of God and allowing his kingdom to be demonstrated through our churches in our immediate community. We must look for ways, maybe through Alpha, maybe through Dawn of Care, I don't know. We must look for ways in which we can penetrate and start praying for people in their homes. Praying for them. Look, just one sick cripple. One sick person can do the trick. Just one person can open it up. Yeah. Look at what happened in the apostles' days when the church, one local church, started to get its act together. Its leadership started to get its act together. Its leadership started to get its act together. Its leadership started to get its act together, and it affected the whole church. Acts chapter 5, verses 12 to 16. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord. Multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Ooh, can you imagine? Ayo, as you start your church with your tattered jeans and as you're walking, glory to God, your shadow. Ooh, glory. I'm telling you, you must become hungry for the right things. Young people, I want to challenge you. Become hungry for the right things, for the power of God, for encounters with God. You know what? I've been saying to the Lord, and I began to be praying this. I've been praying this for a while, and I'm praying. I'm saying, Lord, I want you to begin to open to me the realm of visions, open visions and visitations from you. I desire a visitation from, visitations from you. I want you to visit me in dreams and visions. I want visitations, and I'm going to keep praying it until I break through. I want visitations. I want visitations that will transform me. Yeah. And I'm giving you a key. Become hungry for the impossible, young people. Become hungry for the impossible. As a very young Christian, I started praying for wisdom every day. Every day. Until today, I still pray for wisdom. So that when I am faced with impossible situations, I will have solutions. And I've discovered the secret. If you desire something and you keep asking God, the scriptures cannot lie. Ask and keep on asking, and you shall receive. Ask and keep on asking, and you shall receive. Seek and keep on seeking, and you shall find. Knock and keep on knocking, and it shall be opened to you. Oh, hallelujah. I want to encourage you. What is kingdom impact? It is where the rule of God is being executed and is evident through miracle power to the point that the gospel is transforming people and they're coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and being established as followers and disciples of Christ. And if you, as a child of God, as you're going into this coming year, if you are saying to the Lord, Lord, I am available. I make myself available. I want my life to be influenced by the kingdom of God. In this coming year, I want this to become a priority. I want you to begin to pray. We're going to begin to pray. If that is you, I want you to stand where you are. We're going to pray. We're going to make this whole room an auditorium. We're going to a prayer room. We're going to pray. I want us to begin to seek the Lord. Feel in my spirit, we should seek the Lord about God touching us and using us. This whole place is an altar. I want you to feel free to begin to come and pray. You want to pray, you want to seek God. We want to